Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubah's Daf Pei Hey, and we're going to start four lines from the bottom of Pei Dalid Omid Beis with the story of Yemar Bar Choshu. We're in the middle of a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, which discussed in great detail yesterday. So we'll learn the stories and then remind ourselves of that machlokas as we need to when we go through these stories. So the first mice is as follows: Yemar Bar Choshu. That was the name of a person. Have a masik bei zuzei ba'o gabra. A certain person owed him money, and he went to court to go and get that person to give him the money that he claimed he was owed. However, Shachiv, the person who owed the money, died. Vishovik Arba. And he left the boat behind. So that was the only property that they knew that this debtor had. And Yemar told a shaliach, Amale Lishluche, he told a shaliach for him, Zil Tifsa Nihale. Go and grab that boat for me. In other words, take that property. I'll use that to pay back the loan, the debt that that person owed me. So the shliach went, Ozel Tafsa, and he did exactly as Yemar Bar Choshu told him to do. However, there were other creditors there as well who wanted that boat. So Pogube Rapapa, Rafuna Brady Rishua, and this person who died also owed them money. And they said to him, Amrulay, how are you allowed to go and take that boat? Atofes Labal Chov, the Mokum Shechov Liacherim. They told the Shaliach of Yemar, how are you allowed to go and grab the boat on behalf of Yemar? Now, there's a Machlokas Rashi tells us over here if he actually needed to be a Shaliach or even if he wasn't a Shaliach. But in any event, they told him, these two great Amoraim, Rapapa and Rafun and Brady of Yeshua, said, you're not allowed to go and grab that as a Shaliach or even not as a Shaliach on behalf of Yemar. Atofes Labal Chov, you're going and grabbing something for this Baal Chov, but it's hurting us, it's hurting other people, and therefore you don't have the right to go and do this. As Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, he's with Shaliach, Atovis, Metalton, Shalov, Litzorach, Baal Chov, so you're not allowed to do this. Shemavsid, Baal Chov, and Achayrim, Mitzvisoso, you're not allowed to do this. The Amr of Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, Hatovis l'balchov b'mokum shchov l'achayrim, if in fact somebody goes and grabs something, but it's going to hurt the other creditors, and we turn to pay, hey, I'm an olive. Lo kana, he in fact doesn't acquire it. So therefore, they said that this shaliach of Yemar Bar Choshu didn't acquire the boat. No, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, were creditors also of this dead person, and they grabbed the boat. Tafsu inu, so they took the boat for themselves. They weren't a shaliach, they were taking it for themselves. The person allowed to take it for himself is just a shaliach, or somebody doing it on behalf of them, even though they're not official shaliach. Again, the Machlokas Rashi Tosos are not allowed to go and do this. That's what Rav Yochanan had said. Now, Rav Papa, what did he do to make a kinyan in the boat? Mimlach maluche. He actually rowed the boat. Rashi says, manhiga beogin. He took the oars and he rowed the boat. What did Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua do? He, mematach lo biashla. He went and pulled the boat with ropes. So he made a different type of a kinyan. Each of them claimed that their kinyan was a superior kinyan. Each of them claimed that their kinyan established them being the owner of the boat. As Rashi says, each of them claimed that their kinyan was a better kinyan. In Dibra Masel, Ano Kanina Kula, each claimed they had a better kinyan. Hanhogasi Beria Mishol Chavirai, that each of them claimed that either rowing the boat or pulling the boat with a rope was a better kinyan than the other one's kinyan. Now, Paga Bahu Rapinchas Barami, they met up with Rapinchas Barami, and he told them, Amalu, Rabu Shmuel Garitavai, that both Rabu Shmuel say that this type of a kinyan is only good, Vushetziburin Umunacha Mishusarabim. You can only make such a kinyan when it's in the Mishusarabim. Otherwise, it would be in the person's own property, let's say it was in his wharf, it was in his little area that he owned, so then the Yisomim of that person automatically acquired the boat, and then they can't go and grab him from him, and then the regular rules of taking a debt from Yisomim would apply. And you can't just go grab something. And this is the Machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. And even Rabbi Tarfon said, according to Rav Shmuel, that it was in a simta, which is the equivalent of a private area, even though it's off the Rishus HaRabim and has the halachic status of Rishus HaRabim. We said that in that situation, both Rav and Shmuel held that you can't make a grabbing in that situation in this simta. So where the boat was, it was in a simta. So that's what Rav Pinchas Barami told him, that you can't make a kinyan in this situation. So we have the Girsa Omar Luhu, but it's really both of them. It's not individual. They both, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brady Yeshua, Amrulay. So therefore the Girsa more correctly should be, they both said to him, and this is the Girsa that you can see in the Masoros Hashas Os Gimel, and they said to him, "No, Anan, we nami mecharifusa de nahara tofisla. We didn't take it from the simta equivalent. We didn't take it from his wharf. We took it from the middle of the river. That's what a boat was." Rashi says, "Lo matzanu asfas nahar." They didn't find it on the bank of the river by his wharf. Sheik is simta, which have the halachic status of the simta that we said. Rav Shmuel would say they can't make a kinyan over there. You can't grab it over there. Ella mizeh chatfunua. We took it from this shaliach that had grabbed it, that Yemar Bar Chashu, shaliach who had grabbed it, he brought it out into the middle of the river. They have a Rishus Rabbim. And therefore, that's like a Rishus Rabbim. That's in the middle of the river where all the boats go. The Mefarshim will discuss, well then, how did the shaliach take it from there? So some suggest that shaliach also took it from the middle of the river. It wasn't by the simta, or others say that the shaliach took it from the wharf. He took it from the simta equivalent on the shore. But now that it's in the middle of the river, so Rav Huna, Brady Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, they don't have to go and worry where it came from. Right now it's in the middle of the river, and that's therefore they can make a kinyan on it. How do we paskin? So also carry the Rava. They went to Rava for Psakdin. Amalu, he said to them, Kaki Chivre, Mishalche Glime Dienshe. He called them, you white geese. White is because they were old, they're Tamid, they're Chachamim. And Kaki is a term for a goose. And you look at the Gilyan Hashas over here, he says, Kina Osom Behen, he compared them to the geese because Al Chochmosim, he gave them this name of geese based upon this idea that we have in the Gemara in Brachos, the Isa Brachos Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, Haroa Evos B'Chalom. If one sees a goose in a dream, Yitzapa L'Chochma, it's a sign of Chochma. So you call them you older white geese, but you're doing something wrong. Mishal Chiklim Adinshi, you're removing the clothing from people because you don't have the right to go take this boat. Hochim Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, this only works v'hu she'tefaso mechayim. As we pointed out in yesterday's shiur, this only works if you grab it during the lifetime of the person that died. So if they had grabbed this boat during the lifetime of the owner of the boat before he died, so then even Rabbi Akiva agrees that you're allowed to do this. But if it's after the death of the person, v'hu she'tefaso mechayim, it's only if it's good if they grabbed it during lifetime. If you grab it after the death of the person, like they did over here, so then you're not allowed to go and take it, and therefore it belongs to the Yarshim, as Rabbi Akiva pointed out in yesterday's shir, and therefore Rava said, all of you are wrong. Yerba Bachashu's Shaliach doesn't get it, and neither do Rav Papa or Rav Huna Brei the Rabbi Yoshua. Another Maisa. Avime Brei the Rabbi Yavo Havamaske Bezuze Bechazoi. Avime, who was the son of Rabbi Yavo, owed people money who lived in the city of Chozoi. So Avime Brei the Rabbi Yavo Heavy Maske Bay, Zuze, there were people, Bay, Chuzoi, that lived in Chuzoi, who were trying to collect the money that he owed them. So he sent the money to them. He was an Elich person, of course, and he sent them the money. Shadrinu Biad Choma Berei De Rabba Baravua. He sent the money along with Choma, who was the son of Rabba Baravo, to go and pay back those creditors in Chuzoi. Ozal, he went, Choma went, and Parinu, and he paid them back. So Choma, Parei, the Rabba Baravo, paid back the debt. He did exactly like he was supposed to do. However, Amaluhu, he then said to them, Nu, Hovu Lishtore, give me back the loan document, the IOU, so I can rip it up and return it to the person who it's made out for, Avimi, Parei, the Rabbi Baravo. So Hovu Lishtore, he said to them. Amaluhu, he said, No. Sidroi Ninu, the money that you paid us back was for a milva al peh that he owed us. We're not giving you back the shtar because the milva al peh we're never going to collect. He'll deny it. But you paid us for that. Now we took the money for that. And the shtar, we're still going to collect the shtar because there were two IOUs that Avimei Berei the Rabbi Yavo owed us. So thank you for paying us back for the milva al peh, as Rashi says. But we're not going to give you back the note, the IOU, because that still hasn't been paid. No. Choma Berei the Rabbi Baravo was upset about this. Also coming to Rabbi Bo, he went to Rabbi Yavo to go paskin the din. And he said to him, Omale Islcho Sadi Deferinu. Do you have witnesses that you paid them back? So he said, Omale, no, I don't have any witnesses that I paid him back. So, Omale. So Rabbi Yavo said to him, I'm sorry then. Migu di cholulomar lo yudor miolum. Since they could technically argue, hey, we don't know you. You never paid us anything. Since they could lie if they wished to with that lie and win. So therefore, Yecholunam leNeimar Sitroi Ninu. Therefore, they believed with Amigu to say, since we had a better lie, and we wouldn't have to have any dealings with you, we could just say you never gave us any money. So therefore, believe us when we say that we did accept the money, but that was to pay back a milval peh. So Chama Berei Deraba Bar Avahu was stuck. Now he asked the Shaila, Leinyan Shalume Shaliach Mai. Do I have to go back to Avimi Berei Derabi Avahu and give him back the money? He gave me the money to go collect that IOU that was written down. And instead, I gave it to them, but I didn't get the shtar. So, my, do I have to go and pay him? As Rashi points out over here, in Dibra Masku, my, me have a posheya. Am I considered a negligent person? Shehechzir amos, and I returned the money to them. I gave them the money. Ad shelo kibel mehem shtar, but without first getting the document. So, am I considered negligent? And therefore, I have to pay Avimi Brei Derabi Avo the money that I gave to those people because he didn't authorize me to give it to those people. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi explains, Chazinan, let's take a look over here. If, in fact, when he was sent by Avime Berei Derabi Avo, and he told him, go and take the shtar, and only then give the money, so then certainly, Mashallah, then you're negligent. You didn't follow what you were told to do, so therefore, you would have to pay. However, if he just said, Hav Zuze Ushkol Shtara, if he just said, give them the money, and afterwards, go take the shtar, then you did what you're supposed to do. You gave them the money, and afterwards they didn't give you the shtar. That's not your fault. Lo mishalim. You don't have to go pay it back. However, the Gemara says, Velohi, this answer of Ravashi is incorrect. Ben kachu, ben kach mishalim. In either way, if the shaliach said, go give him the money and take the shtar, or he said, go take the shtar and then give him the money, in either way, he would be responsible if he gave the money without getting the shtar. Because the Amar Leh, because the person who sent him, Avime, Berei de Rabbi Avo could tell him, L'sakune shedar tich. I only sent you to improve my situation, below avuse, and not to make it worse. So by you not getting me the shtar, so I obviously told you that there's the shtar in existence, and therefore you have to go get me the shtar, or else you're held responsible. Now, in the Tosus on the bottom of Pidal and Mbeis, those Tosus are really on our Gemara on Pehe Amud Aleph, so Tosus says, this is Dafkun, the bottom Tosus, Dafkun Mishum de Hiskir lo, Likach shtar. This is only when he mentioned that there is a shtar to be taken, and whether he said the money first and get the shtar, or he said, go take the shtar and then and give them the money. Either way, whichever way he said it, as long as he mentioned there's a shtar, so then in that situation, he would be held liable. But if he didn't mention anything at all about a shtar, so Tosa says that he can't be held liable because he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He said, you give him the money, and I gave them the money. I didn't know that there was a shtar involved. Okay. Mara tells us another story. Hi, Itza, there was a woman, the Havu Mifkide Gaba Malogo Dishtori. She was given over by a man who was subsequently going to die a whole bunch of shtaros, a whole bunch of IOUs that he gave to her. They weren't her IOUs, but he gave her a whole bunch of documents that people owed him money, and he gave them to her. Now, Arsi Yarshim, the Yarshim, this person died, and then the Yarshim came and they said, Kotovo le minot. They said, give us back all these IOUs that our father is entitled to. Now, Omer Luhu, she told them, Mechayim tofis neluhu. I took them during your father's lifetime. In other words, he owed me money. And therefore, I took these as a collateral during his lifetime. And even Rabbi Akiva says that in this situation, I'm allowed to go and take them during his lifetime. And therefore, I will only return them to you so you can collect them from other people when you give me the money that your father owes me. So they all went to the Beis Din to litigate. I saw the coming to Rav Nachman. They went to Rav Nachman. And Amalah, he said to her, Islach Sahadi de Tavua Minach Mechayim Velo Yehivis Nialei. Now everybody knew that the father, the dead father, had given them to her to hold on to. So Rav Nachman asked her, do you have witnesses that you didn't give them back to him when he asked you to give them back to him? In other words, do you have any proof that you actually grabbed them during his lifetime? Because we know he gave them to you. And if he gave them to you, that doesn't count as you having grabbed them because they were given to you. So you can only be considered grabbing them if he then asked for them back and you said no. So do you have any witnesses? Islach Sahadi, the Tavua Minoch Mechayim, that the man, the dead man, while he was still alive, had asked for those documents back, and you didn't give them. Velo yohivis niale. So she said, no, I don't have. Armulei, lo, I don't have such witnesses. I just saying that I grabbed them. So in that situation, Rav Nachman tells her, I'm sorry. Imkain, havi tviso de la achamiso. In this situation, you're only grabbing it after the death. And we possibly like Rabbi Akiva, that grabbing after the death is not considered grabbing. Utviso de la achamiso lo klum hi. And therefore, you have to give back all of those documents, and the Yorshim can go and use them to collect those IOUs. You can't go and collect them. Now, everybody agrees that she wouldn't be able to collect them because just holding on to an IOU doesn't actually go and allow you to collect it. It's having been given over to you, as Tosus points out, and the top Tosus is Chosadi, so Tosus points out that she only had the right to claim that the paper was in her possession, but not that the actual IOU ability to collect, because the Masira, you have to give that over in a Kinyan in order to be able to collect somebody else's IOU. In any event, Rav Nachman said that this is a Tfisa Liachamisa, and she's not entitled to keep it. Another story. There was a woman, the Chayva Shavua Beidino de Rava, who would have been obligated to give a shua in the basin of Rava. So let's say, for example, she was a Modav Mitzas. Somebody had said to her, you owe me $100. He said, no, I paid you back 50. So then she's Chayva Shua Daraisa. So this woman was obligated to make a shua Daraisa in the Beis Din of Rava. However, Rava's wife, Amrele Bas Rav Chista, Rava was married to Rav Chista's daughter. That's Rava's wife. And his wife told him, Yodana Ba, I know about this woman, the Chashuda Ashvua, that she is not a woman who swears honestly. She will swear falsely. And therefore, this Shvua that she's going to make, a Shvua Daraisa, she's going to swear falsely. So what did Rava, her husband, do? So if her Rava li Shvua, Asha Kenegda. Rava did what the Gemara in Shuas tells us. See in Rashi, Diva Masli Shua Asha Kenegda. Hataveya Osa Yishava Vito. That normally the din is that she would swear. This is Shua Daraisa, so Moda B'Mixas, let's say. So she would swear and not have to pay the other $50. But as the Gemara in Shuas tells us, the Elu Nishbayim V'notlin Shekinegdo Choshut Ala Shua. In situations where one person is suspect of swearing falsely, so the Dayan is allowed to turn the tables and say, instead of you swearing and not collecting, we'll make the other person swear and then he can collect. So that's exactly what Rava did over here. Instead of allowing this woman to swear, because his wife told him she swears falsely, so he made the other person swear to allow the other person to collect. Now, Zimnin, Rashi tells us that the word Zimnin means Pamacheres, another time in the Beis Din of Rava. Havuyasvi Kamei Rapapa V'Ravadva Masta. Rava was adjudicating a case, and these two great Tamidi Chachamim, Rapapa and Ravadva Masta, were watching the goings on. So Aisu Ushtar Gabei, a certain person brought in the shtar to be collected. However, Amli Rapapa told Rava, listen, Yodana Bei Dishtara Priyahu, I know for a fact that this shtar has already been collected, and this person is bringing it in to collect falsely a second time. So Amalei, Rava said to Rapapa, Nu, you're an Eidechot. Iko inishachrino bahadei demar. Is there a second witness that can testify with you to say that this shtar is already parua, it's already been paid back, and therefore I can not let them go and collect on it? So Rapapa said, no, I'm sorry, no, Amalei, lo, I don't have a second witness. I just know, I saw this document being paid back, and I know that this document was paid back, but I don't have another witness that didn't agree with me. So Rava tells him, I'm sorry then, Amalei. Even though you're the great Rapapa, I'm sorry, Eidechot lav klum hu. In this situation, you're an Eidechot, and I can't go and disallow this shtar to be collected based upon the testimony of an Eidechot. Now, Rav Adar Bar Masna was there, and he was shocked at this. Amalei Rav Adar Bar Masna to Rava, he says, V'loyei Rapapa kibasu chista? You trusted your wife, and you flipped around the shvua instead of letting that woman, who your wife said was chashuda ashvua, that she was suspected of making false shuas, instead of making her make the shua, you switched it around, made the person who was claiming from her make the shua, and was able to collect. So you trusted your own wife, and you don't trust Rav Papa? So Rav says, yeah, 100%. Bas Rav Chista, my wife, the daughter of Rav Chista, Kim Li Bigava. I live with her. I know her. 100% certain she would not tell me something if she didn't know it for 100% to be true. And therefore, I can take it 100% to the bank that if she told me this woman is suspected of making a false shua, I'm not going to go and allow her to make a false shua in my court, and I'll flip the shua around and make the litigant go and make the shua instead of her. However, as great as Rav Papa is, mar for Rav Papa, lo kim li bigavei, I know it's a big talmud chacham, but I don't know his nature, his character, and I cannot vouch 100% that he is telling the truth. And therefore, I am not able to go and accept him the way I accept my wife in terms of her word. Amazing. Very, very amazing. Amar Rav Papa said, Hashto d'amar mar kim li begavei. Milsi. Now that Rav Papa says, I see that this personal knowledge is the ikar, not the fact that he's a great person. He's not doubting that Rav Papa was a great person, but he says, I don't have that personal knowledge. So Rav Papa said, now that this is the way that it is to be understood, that it has to be absolute personal knowledge and not just based upon the reputation of the person, since he said this, Hashel de Amamad, that Rav said, Kimli Begave Milsi, that such a thing is only your own personal knowledge is all that counts. So then, for myself, Kigon Abba, my son, Abba Mar, Kigon Abba Mar, Biri, my son, the Kim Li Begave, I know about him, that he is absolutely 100% ehrlich and honest. I would rip up a shtar, Karana Shtar Apume. If he told me that a shtar was no good, I would rip it up. More really questions and says, really? You'd rip up a shtar? Karana Sokadaito? Can it possibly mean that you'd really rip up the shtar? As Rashi says, says, how can you possibly go rip up the shtar? You're basically taking away something for the person that he could collect with, and you're stealing his money. That you're not allowed to do. All Rava did in his case was he trusted his wife, Barav Chista, to go and say that flip around the shvuah. He didn't take the money, he just flipped around the shvuah. So how can you tell me that you'd rip up the shtar? So yeah, Rav Papa didn't say that. Ella morano shtara apume. Based upon my son Abba Mar, who I trust so much, if he said a shtar wasn't good, I wouldn't go and collect on it in my basement. As Rashi says, morano v'lo zdakik legabos biosu shtar umikra nami lo korona le. I wouldn't rip it up. In other words, he could go to another basement and collect it in another basement. That I can't stop him from doing. But in my basement, I wouldn't allow him to go and collect it. So I wouldn't rip up the shtar. And if he took it to another basin where they didn't know, so then that would be the din, because you're not allowed to rip up the shtar. But in my basin, I have the right to say, I'm not going to allow that shtar to be collected. Okay. Mark continues another story. Hi, it's the Chayva Shvua Beidina, Drabibi Barabaye. There was a certain woman that was obligated to make a Shvua in the basin of Rabibi Bar Abaye. So, Amalahu, how about Dover? So, the person who she was obligated to make the Shvua to said, I don't want her to swear to you here in the court because nobody here knows her and she's not afraid to swear falsely. Bring her to my town where everybody knows her, everybody knows the Maisa, and she'll be embarrassed and won't swear falsely back in my town, Bimasa, where I live. Efshar, the Michasva Umodaya. In that situation, I think she'll be embarrassed and she'll admit and she won't swear falsely and therefore I'll collect my money. So that's what the litigant said about this woman to Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. So, Armulahu. So the woman said, okay, fine, I'm happy to do that, but I don't want to have to go through the whole legal process twice. In this situation, it's going to be difficult for me to go there to his town, make the shua there, and then come back here to collect it. So do me a favor, write down, Kisuli Zachvosa, go and write down that I did all this, that I'm acquitted from the judgment of owing the money if I make the shvua in that other town. And write the document up now. Give it to a third party, as Tosu says in Dibra Maskil, Alma Mechzik Shikra. Give it to a third party, and that third party will hold on to it. You'll write that I swore in this other town, and therefore I win the case. And write it up now, before I actually swore in the other town. Give it to the third party. Don't worry, I can't use it. The third party will have it. The shliach of Basin will have it. And then, the chi mishtabana, yavli. And then, after I swear in this guy's hometown, then I'll go, be able to go and have this document saying that I can go and collect the money, and I'll win my case without having to go back over here to go collect the money. So, the Basin of Rabibi Barbai said, that's a good idea. Amaluhu. Rabibi Barbai said, Amalu Rabibi Barbai, Kitsula, yes, I accept this. It's okay to write this down. In other words, I'm not concerned about Mechzik Ishikwa. I'm not concerned about us writing down something which at this point in time is not true. Because at this point in time, the woman, in fact, is not having made the Shvua. And therefore, they're writing down that she made the Shvua, albeit they're not giving it to her, and they're only going to give it to her when she does make the Shvua. Rabibi Barabai is not concerned about this Mechzei Kishikwa, a very important idea that it looks like it's inappropriate by them writing up something that isn't written down beforehand. That's why, for example, at a wedding, there are those that don't fill in the word Vikanina to say that the Kinyan Sudar took place already for the Ksuba, so they won't fill in the kuf on the word Kanina until after the Kanina is actually made. Now, many disagree with that at a wedding because oftentimes you forget to fill it in and then you got a lot of problems. But in any event, it's Mechzik Shikra. It looks like it's Sheker, and therefore, Rabbi Bar Abai said, I'm not concerned about that. Over Rapapi, Rapapi disagrees. Mishum da sisu mimuloi amisu mile mulyasa, because you come from a people that Nebuch lived short lives. Abaye came from the house of Eli, and Eli's descendants were punished with short lives. The Gemara tells us elsewhere that Abaye and Rava, I'll just say it was Rabba, were descendants from the base Eli, and that they lived for shorter lives, albeit Abaye lived to the age of 60 because he was a big Talmud Chacham, the Torah was Megan, as well, he was a big Baal Chesed, and therefore he lived to the age of 60. But normally they lived to a very young age. They died by the age of 20. So he says, because you come from a family that lives very, very short lives, you say things that are very, very short. In other words, you say things that are incorrect. Because Omar Rava said, "Hi Asharta de Dayani." Rava had said that an Asharta de Dayani, Asharta, Rashi tells us, comes from the Lashon of the word Yashikoyach. Asharta means Lashon Chosek, Kamo Yashar Kochacha. And Asharta, Rashi has the Girsa Asharta de Shtari. We have the Girsa Asharta de Dayani. It means the same thing, that if the Beis Din is being Makai Mishtar, Beis Din is saying, Kia Mashtar, Shikos Vin Dayonim, Bemosav Tlotso Havina. The also ploni uploni vasidu achasimos yodayu vashrinu v'kaiminu. And if Beis Din has a shtar and they want to verify and authorize that this is a valid shtar by validating the signatures of the people, so they have the people that signed on it say yes, these are our signatures. So they then write a document to say yes, that this document has been, the original IOU has been proven to be correct. It's been authorized and authenticated in our Beis Din. And they write this up. So if they write this up, Rabbi said, Hi Asharta to Dayani. This Asharta, this claiming of authorizing the Shtar, authenticating the Shtar, the Mirtava Mikame de Nechavu Sahade Achasimos Yodayu, if it was written before the actual witnesses came and authenticated their signatures. In other words, the Beis Din said, let's go print this up before they're coming. We know they're coming today at 10 o'clock, but we have a big docket today. So write up right now that their signatures have been authenticated. We won't give it to anybody until they actually authenticate it. So Rava had said, Psula, you can't do this because I'm a Merzi Kishikra, because it looks like it's a falsehood. They're writing something when it's not yet true. They're writing down, this document was authenticated in front of us. Albeit it will be authenticated an hour from now, but right now it's not. So therefore it looks like Sheker. And therefore you can't do this. And therefore, Rapapi said to Rabibi Barabaye, Hochanami Merzi Kishikra, when you're writing down and giving it to the third party, this lady swore, and therefore she's entitled to go and collect her debt. So in that situation, Nami Merse Kishikwa. It looks like the Beis Din is writing down something that's not true, so you can't do this. However, that which Rabbi told Rabbi Rabbi Yevilesa is incorrect. And this is based upon what Rav Nachman taught us. Be the Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Meir would say, Afilu Mitzvah Ba'ashpa. The Rav Meir holds that a get doesn't have to be written Lishma. It just has to be signed Lishma. The Chacham would argue with him and say, no, it has to be written Lishma. So Rav Nachman said that Rav Meir said that if you find a get written in an ashpa, and it obviously wasn't written for your wife, but you happen to have the same name, and that your wife is the same name as the one that's written that get for, and you now sign it, the chasama unisana law, and you go and sign it and give it to your wife. So in that situation, it's a kosher get. Rav Meir says it's a kosher get. And even the chachamim that disagree with him and say that it has to be written lishma, not only signed lishma, I feel a rabbanon. They don't argue with the mayor about Merzi Kishikra. Lo pliga le de mayor el begiti nashim. They only say that this is a problem because a get of a woman has to be lishma, which they, lecham hold, has to be written lishma. Ramea says it only has to be signed lishma. But everybody agrees, the chachamim are molded to Ramea, the bainu and ksiva lishma, than in any other situation that we don't have the requirement to write the get lishma, I will be shtar shtarus module. Only by the get is there a machlokas to Ramea and the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say that the Ba'inon Ksiva Lishma, but by every other star, an IU doesn't have to be written Lishma, an IU could be written, and then you can take that star, and as long as you hand it over, so then it's a perfectly good star. It's Merzik Yishikra, Abu Shtar Shoros Module, so it obviously is not a problem, because the Amar Vasa, Amar Yochanan, Shtar Shalavabo Paro, Eno Chosebo Lovabo, Shekvar Nimcho Shibudo. And we prove this from what Rav Asi said in the name of Yochanan, that a shtar that was written, again, it's an unusual case, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on the 22nd day of Elul. And then he pays him back that very same day. So at 9 o'clock, he borrows the money. 10 o'clock, he says, no, you know what? I technically don't need the money. The deal that I was borrowing it for fell through. I don't need the money. So at 10 o'clock, he says, here's your money back. And he pays back the note. Then at 11 o'clock, he says, no, the deal's back on. I need the money. So in this situation, shtar shalava bo'uparo, this was a valid document that was written at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, he paid it back. And now at 11 o'clock, in a chosev lovbo, he's not allowed to use that same shtar and go and borrow with that shtar. Why? Shekvar nimcho shibudo, because the lien that the shtar would have on his properties has been abrogated. It's been done and taken care of, and it would therefore only be a milva al peh. And a milva al peh is not what he wants. Now, what do we see from here? Taima, the nimcho shibudo, the only reason this doesn't work is because the shibud was taken away. As Rashi says in the bottom Rashi, Mishiparo bought el ashtar. The ashtar is now null and void when it was paid back. Veninsas malva hasheni, the next milva that occurs at 11 o'clock, is a milva al peh only, as I said. They know govim and el kuchas, and he wouldn't be able to use this as a lien on his properties. It would only be allowed to collect from properties that he has extant. So therefore, the only reason this is no good is because taima the nimchal shibudo. It's because the shibud was removed. But for the concern of mexikish l'shikra, avol l'merse, and we turn to pay hey omid beis, kishikra, that lo chayshina, we're not concerned about. So therefore, Rapapi is in fact not correct. And he argued Rabbi Barbai incorrectly. Now, the only problem is that early in the Gemara, on Daf Chafalef omid beis, we said that Rapapi was correct. So how do you reconcile this? The Tosafot there says several terutzim, and one of the terutzim, we'll just say one over here, is simple, and he says that the reason is that we possibly like Rav Papi l'chatchila. We are concerned l'chatchila about shikra, but b'dievet, after the fact, we would allow it. So therefore, we do, in fact, paskin like Rav Papi, but that's only l'chatchila. And Tosafot there points out that this is often a style that we have, that we'll schlug something up, but it's not totally schlugged up, that we do paskin it to a certain extent, as we do over here for Rav Papi's concern of mechzik shikra. Okay, another story. Now we're actually going to have three stories over here that are very, very, very similar. The Rif points out that we tell all three stories to show that this is vaday the halacha l'maisa. So the first story is as follows. How Gavra, there was a man, the Afkid Shav Margunisa, who put seven pearls, the Tzairi Besidna, who he wrapped up in a certain type of a kerchief, and he gave them to Bei Rabbi Miyasha Barberei, the Rishu Belevi. He gave them to the grandson of Rishu Belevi. We had Rav Miyasha mentioned already several times recently. And this person, this wealthy person, gave these seven pearls that were wrapped up in a certain way in a kerchief to Rav Miyasha to hold on to them. And then Nebuch Shochiv Rav Miyasha. Rav Miyasha died very suddenly, and he didn't have a chance to tell his children the low pocket. He didn't tell them. As Rashi says, Dibur Masa Lo Pokid, Lo Tziva, Lian Shebeso, he didn't have a chance to tell his children that this wasn't mine. Because Shechat Fasun, he died very suddenly. So now, the children say, these diamonds are ours. They have a chazakah. They're in their father's possession. So they're saying, Mistama, they're theirs. Whereas the guy that deposited them said, hey, I deposited them by your father. They're mine. So also coming to the Ravami. So the litigants came, the Rav Miyasha's children, and the one, the rich man who deposited the seven pearls with him, they came to Ravami to judge the case. Also coming to the Ravami, and Amalu Ravami said, Chada, I have two things over here to say that the person who gave the pearl should get it back. Number one, the Adana Baby Rav Miyasha Barbere, the Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, the Lo Amit. As Rashi says, the Lo Amit means he wasn't a rich man, ain't a washer. So I know for a fact that it's very, very, very unlikely that Rav Miyasha owned these seven very, very expensive pearls. He just wasn't that type of a person that he would have such pearls. I knew, as Tosafot points out, why don't we say maybe we should taina that maybe he found them, and while he didn't have the money to go buy them himself, maybe he got lucky and he found them. So therefore, we don't go and taina on behalf of the orphans. So number one, it's very unlikely that Rav Miyasha actually owns these pearls. And number two, for old, this other person, this one who really deposited the pearls and said, listen, there were seven pearls. They were wrapped up in a kerchief in this way, and they were in this order or whatever. He gives Simonim. So therefore, he gave Simonim. So it makes sense that he is really, in fact, the owner of these pearls, and I'm going to return them to this man. However, He only said this, v'loa maron, ela l'rogil, the oil, the norfik, l'hosom. That's only in a situation where Rav Ami said that he wasn't a regular visitor by Rav Miasha. If he had been a regular visitor by Rav Miasha, then, abo rogil, the oil, the norfik, l'hosom, then I would say, ema inishachrina, if maybe he saw somebody else deposit them by Rav Miasha, and now when Rav Miasha dies, he says, I could pull a fast one over here and say that they're mine, because I saw the other person give them to him, and therefore, v'yu mechsa chaza. And in that situation, he just saw what went on, but they weren't really his pearls. So therefore, if he was a regular in and out of the house, then you can't say this, and I would give it to the Yorshim. But here, since he wasn't a regular person in and out of the house, and he knew the simanim on it, and it's very unlikely Rav Miasha had such expensive jewelry, so therefore, it is appropriate, Rav Ami said, to return these seven pearls to their original owner. Similarly, case number two, how Gavra, the once was a man, the Afkid Kotso, the Kaspa, who gave over a silver cup, a very expensive silver cup, Bei Chasa, to Chasa. Chasa is the name of a person. Shachu Chasa, and Chasa suddenly died. The Gemara in Yevamos, if you remember, towards the end of the Masechta, taught us that Chasa died when he was drowned. A guy came along and said, oi, woe is to Chasa's family because Chasa drowned. And Rav Nachman, in that situation, accepted the words of the guy to say that he, in fact, is believed that the guy said that he drowned, and he allowed the widow to remarry. Maskana, the Gemara there was, only if she married do we allow her to stay remarried, but l'chachila, we don't allow her to get married. In any event, we see from there that Chasa died suddenly. So Chasa was given this silver cup to watch, and then he suddenly died. He didn't have a chance to tell his family that this isn't my silver cup. So the family said, this is our silver cup. It was in the possession of our father. And the man who deposited the silver cup said, no, it's mine. So us would come to Rav Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman to adjudicate the case. So Rav Nachman says to them, also, just like Rav Ami said the case before, there are two reasons why I'm going to return the cup to the person who claims that it was his and he deposited it with Chasa. Number one, Yodana Bey Bechasa. I have personal knowledge that Chasa, the low Amit, he's not a rich guy. And there's no way he would have such an expensive silver cup. Furthermore, the ode, Hoka Yav Simana. This litigant is also telling us simanim. There's a little notch on the bottom of the cup. It has this mark over there. It has that mark over there. It is a certain type of shape and everything. He knew all the details about the cup. So therefore, in this situation, because of these two reasons, I'm returning the cup to the person who claims that it is his. But I'm only saying this, again, because this person was not a regular in and out of Chasa's house. But if he had been a regular in and out of the house, I wouldn't give this, because Amar in Shachrini Avkid V'yu Mechso Chasa. But then I would say that he happened to be there when another person gave the cup, and he's now trying to pull a fast one on us and saying that it was his cup when it really was somebody else's cup. Okay, almost the identical case as the one before, a silver cup instead of pearls. A third case, almost identical. How the Avkid Mitachso Bei Rav Dimi Achua the Rav Safra. There once was a person that gave a very expensive silk garment to Rav Dimi, who was the brother of Rav Safra, to go and watch for him. And again, Rav Dimi Nebuch suddenly died. Shoch Rav Dimi v'lo pocket. And he didn't give over to his family instructions to say that this was not his silk garment. No, the family claims, Mistama, it's in his possession, it's his. So the other guy says, no, I deposited by him. So they go to the Beis Din of Rabbi Abba to adjudicate the case. Also, they come to Rabbi Abba. And in this situation, Amalahu, Rabbi Abba said to them, same exact thing. There are two reasons over here why I'm going to return this silk garment to the person who claims that he deposited by Rav Dimi. Number one, Chodo Diadana Bebe Rav Dimi Deloamit. I know for a fact that Rav Dimi was not a rich guy and he wouldn't buy such a fancy silk garment, right? It's like a very expensive fur coat. So there's no way he would buy such a thing. It's incongruous that he would buy such a garment. He doesn't have the money for that. And furthermore, this person gave simanim about the silk garment. Vote ha koyoyev simanim. He gave lots of simanim as to what this silk garment looked like. So there's no way he would know that unless it really was his. But again, I'm only saying this exactly as we had Rav Nachman and Rav Ami say. So in this situation, Rabbi Abba says the same thing. I'm only saying this. Lo amarin el de l'rogil de oil de nafik lasim. If he wasn't a regular, by Rav Dimi, but if he was a regular there, I'd have to say that he saw somebody else give it to Rav Dimi, and he saw the other person, and he's now trying to pull a fast one on us. So we have three cases all saying the same thing. This is the din. Another maisa, how do amaluhu nechsoy letovya? The person on his deathbed says to the people around him, I want all my properties to go to Tovya. He doesn't say who Tovya is. So Shochiv, he dies, and then a guy comes and says, I'm Tovya, also Tovya. So he says, everybody knows that he said he's giving the properties to Tovya. I'm the Tovya, and he said he's giving the properties to. So Yochanan says, how are you about Tovya? Yeah, Taka, this is the guy. He is probably the person that the dead man said should get all the properties. He came right away. So Mistama, he is aware of what's going on, and therefore he gets the properties. Amar Tovya, if the dead person had said, I wanted to go to Tovya, and then Va'asa Rav Tovya, and then a Rabbi Tovya comes along, so then we say, no, we don't give it to him, because the person said, L'Tovya Amar, L'Rav Tovya Lo Amar. He said, I'm giving it to Tovya. If he had meant Rav Tovya, Mistami, he would have said Rav Tovya. However, one qualification, V'inish D'Gispe, but if he was very, very friendly with Rav Tovya, this would be like one great Talmud Chacham calling another Talmud Chacham by his first name. I would never be able to do that. I could never call, I don't even want to say it, Rav Moshe Feinstein by just his first name. But Rav Yaakov Mistama called him by his first name. So therefore, if you're very, very friendly with him, be inish to Gispe. If you're very friendly with him, ha Gispe. So then it's possible that he said, give it to Tovya. He really meant Rav Tovya, and then Rav Tovya can go collect it. Furthermore, what happens if two Tovyas come? So the guy said, I want my money to go to Tovya, and two Tovyas show up. Also Shnei Tovya. Shachem, one was a neighbor, and the other one is a Talmud Chacham. So who do we give it to? So Mistama, unless we know. Now, first of all, point out, if you know who he meant, if he told us who he meant, then none of this applies. See, we just have absolutely no idea. We have no inclination that he meant one versus the other. So you have the Shachem coming along and the Talmud Chacham coming along, so then we assume Talmud Chacham called him. Mistama, he wanted the Talmud Chacham to get it, so he would benefit from giving the Talmud Chacham a present. We just had the Maisa of the Bikurim in the parsha, and it tells us that today we don't give Bikurim, so today you can do the equivalent of giving Bikurim by giving a Talmud Chacham a present. So therefore, Mistama, we say he wants to give the Talmud Chacham the present rather than the neighbor. What happens if it's a car of a Talmud Chacham? It was a relative of the Talmud Chacham, there too. We say Talmud Chacham called him. Mistama, we want to give it to the Talmud Chacham. They ask the following Shaila, Ibarlu, what happens if it's a Shachem, the car of Mai? It's not a Talmud Chacham, it's just the neighbor and a relative. Who do we give it to? So Mora says, Toshma, let's learn it from the following Braisa, which tells us the darshing of the Pasuk. This is a Pasuk that we have in Mishlei, where it says, Tov Shachem Karov, it's better to have a close friend, Me'och Rako, than a distant brother. Now, it doesn't literally mean physically. It means if you have a close friend and you have a relative that you're not so close with, so then the close friend is better. Shneim Krovim, Mora says, what happens if they're both Krovim, or Shneim Shchein, or they're both relatives, both or they're both neighbors, or Shneim Chacham, or they're both Tamidei Chachamim. So then you do what's called Shuda D'Dayne. So then, as Rashi points out over here, in Shuda D'Dayne, what you do in that situation is, Hatolas HaDayonim, the Dayonim have to guess what the person would have wanted. Lefi Masha Yiru Dayonim, Shiradaku Shomeis L'Kari V'zeh, Yosem Yizeh. So Rashi understands this, that the Dayanim have to figure out as best as they can what the intention of the dead person was. When he said to give it to Tovya, and two relatives come along whose name is Tovya, two neighbors come along named Tovya, two Talmidei Chachamim come along named Tovya, they have to figure out to the best that they can that mi bishneim tov v'noig b'derech yishari sheyesh lomar bo niskavi nemeis l'zchus, that which one the Meis Mistama would have wanted to. Tosos elsewhere says that davdavka, they have to figure out what the Meis wanted, they have to do what they think is the most appropriate thing to do with the money. Okay. Another ma'isa, Amalei Rav Lebrei de Rav Chiya Bar Ravin. Rav said to the son of Rav Chiya Bar Ravin, Ta emoloch milso miyal yuso dahava amar avuch. I want to tell you a wonderful vort that your father said, your great father, Rav Chiya Bar Ravin. I want to tell you, his son, a great vort that he said about what Shmuel said. Hadi Amar Shmuel said the following din, Hamocher shtar chov l'chaveiro, if a person sells a shtar chov to his friend. So he has an IOU, and he sells it to his friend. He makes a kenyan on it, and he sells it to the friend. So it's not due, let's say, for a year. So it's a $10,000 document. He says, I'll sell it to you now for $5,000. I'd rather have the $5,000 now, and you can go collect the $10,000 a year from now. And then, after he sells him, he then goes and forgives the guy the $10,000. So mochel, the din Shmuel said is that it's mochel. He has the right, as the owner of the shtar, to be mochel. Even though he sold it to somebody, he has the right halachically to go and sell it. Now, does he have to pay back the $5,000 that he got or not? That's a whole separate din, a whole separate discussion, not for right now. In any event, v'afilu yoresh mochel. He said, the Shmuel said, even a yoresh could be mochel. So if this was the descendant of the person, let's say the person who sold the shtar for $5,000 died, his son, his Yoresh, could be mochel that document as well. But then Shmuel said, Mode Shmuel. Your father taught us that Shmuel was Mode, however, b'machneses shtarchov lebala, that if a woman brings in a shtarchov as part of her nichsei melug to her husband, and then she goes v'chazru v'chalto, and she goes and is mochel on the document, she can't do that. She ain't a mochel. In that situation, is not mochel. Why? Because the husband has the rights to the payers of that document. Since he has the rights to the payers of that document, and if she's mochel that document, so that if that document were to be collected, he would be entitled to go take that money and go purchase a field and enjoy the payros. So since he's yodo ki yodo, he or she, neither of them, can be mochel that document. She certainly can't go be mochel because of his rights in the payros. So that's the beautiful vart that your father said over in the name of Shmuel. Another maisa. Krevos say the Rav Nachman, Zabinti Luxubasa Betovasana. The relatives of Rav Nachman, a certain woman, sold her ksuba for a small amount of money, what's called Tovasana. The ksuba is not a guarantee to ever be collected. If she dies before her husband, the ksuba is not to be collected. So she sold it on speculation to somebody. So the ksuba is worth $100,000. And she sold it to somebody for $10,000. Nope. If she dies first, he gets nothing. He lost the $10,000. Nope. The husband dies first, or the husband divorces her, so then he'll make a big killing over here, and then he'll go and collect the ksuba, even though he only paid for it $10,000. Nope. That's what happened. She sold the ksuba for a small amount, but Tovasana. Igarsha, the husband then subsequently divorced her, Ushchiva, but then she died. So now, on the surface of it, the person who she sold the ksuba to for Tova Sana is entitled to go and collect the suba because she was divorced. So Igarsha. So at that point in time, the ksuba has to be paid, and the guy who bought it on speculation should have done very, very well. But she subsequently died, Ushchiva. And Asu Kotobi Lo Librata. So now they went to go, the daughter had gotten the ksuba, and this person wanted to take it away from the daughter and say, listen, I'm entitled to the ksuba, I bought it from your mother. So this was a relative of Rav Nachman, as we said, Krivasi the Rav Nachman, it was a relative of Rav Nachman that this occurred to. The dead woman was a relative of his, the daughter of the dead woman is a relative of his, and Amalu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, not clear who he said it to, but he said it, why doesn't somebody give this person advice? Lekka the Lispa La Eitza. Why doesn't somebody tell this daughter of her dead mother that she should do the following? And we turn to Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Heizo, she should go v'sei chala l'ksubasa d'ima l'gabi avur. She should go and be meichel the ksuba that her father owes her mother. And this way, the ksuba can't be collected because she's meichel on it. Now, she's the only daughter of a father. Machlokas, Rashi, and others, as to whether the father was still alive or not. So if the father's still alive, so if she's the only child, she'll inherit the father. But some say the father was dead already at this point in time, so she's Vaday, the only inheritor of the father. V'terso mine, and she'll get the money that way. So this poor little orphan girl will not be out all the money at the ksuba, because she'll inherit the entire father. If this huge $100,000 ksuba has to go to somebody else, so it goes away from the estate, that's all the estate has, and she'll be left broke. So, that's what Rav Nachman said. Why doesn't somebody go and tell her this? Shama, whoever he said it to, the word got out, and Ozlo Achilta, the daughter, heard this suggestion from Rav Nachman, and she was Meichel on the Ksuba, and in fact, this is the Halacha. Therefore, the Ksuba is Machel, as we learned from the statement of Shmuel, and in this situation, she collected the entire Ksuba from the Yerusha, from her father. Rav Nachman said, oy, 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 what did I do? We made ourselves into lawyers, and that's not a good thing. As Rashi says, Asino Atzmeinu, Kikarov Shel Baldin, O Avo. We acted over here like the relatives of the Baldin, or somebody who loves them, Haboetzel Dayanim, who comes in front of Dayanim, for Urcho Birayos Achar Zuchus Ovo, and he pushes Rayos in favor of his relative or his loved one, O Krovo. Kach Lamadati Eitzel Azu Lahavsid Shekineda, and I caused this other person to lose out. Oy is me. What did we do? We made ourselves into lawyers. Now, originally he did it. So why did he originally think it was acceptable? And subsequently he's regretting that he did it. So Meikara might sabar, or himself might sabar. What did he think originally, and what did he think subsequently? So Gemara says, originally, he said, this is technically the din. Meikara sabar, umibisarach lo tisalam. That you're not allowed to go look away when your relative is in need. So I had to come to the aid of my relative. And therefore, I gave him such a suggestion. And therefore, it was 100% legitimate. And in fact, this is the din. If he can provide a taina for her, he's allowed to do so. Except he's an odom gadol. Ulbasov, he said, Sovar Odom Choshev Shaini, a great person, a very important person like myself, shouldn't be involved in such things because it looks bad. Oh, look what Rav Nachman did to help his relative. Even though it's 100% right, just doesn't look good. So he felt bad that he did something on his level, his madrega, for such a person like himself. It was inappropriate to give such advice. Albeit, the din is that you're certainly allowed to give such advice. With this, we conclude today's shiur.